Public Media would like to acknowledge the Hle Ne Di and the Wush Kitan of the Ak Kwan. We are on their ancestral homeland. Our broadcast studios are built on fill that was once tideland and part of what is called the Indian Village. We recognize those families who traveled to and from their homes from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages, and who have never relinquished their property rights and hunting and fishing rights, nor their ownership and stewardship of their land and waterways. The families of the Juneau Indian Village, like their ancestors, cherish and depend upon their immediate connection to the waterfront. KTOO is working to lift up Tlingit voices through the sharing of stories like these and broadcast of the Tlingit language. Please excuse us for our mistakes and gunoschish for your patience as we learn. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my first guest today is here representing the Juneau Audubon Society. Welcome, Brenda Wright. Hello.
Hi, Shelley. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, you as well. How are you holding up these days?
I'm doing great, thank you. It's mostly because of the wonderful bird song that started outside my window.
Yep, it's that time of year. Thank you so much for joining us today. Would you please introduce yourself for those who don't know and say how you're involved with the Audubon Society?
Well, I became a birder a long time ago, and somebody snatched me into the Juneau Audubon Society board, and I'm still there on the board. I'm the program chair, so I get to try and find speakers for our lectures in the fall and get to enjoy bird walks in the spring, normal springs, that is.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do those kind of close group things right now, but we can still listen outside our window or in our yard and find some really fun things going on.
Yeah, maybe you could say a little bit about what the society's status is or what were the plans for this year and how have they changed? I mean, it does seem like birding lends itself to physical distancing pretty well as an individual or small group activity, but what about some of your organized events?
Well, you know, this time of year in the spring is when the hooligan and the herring are running really, really thick, and so traditionally for over 10 years we've been taking a cruise to Burners Bay right now to get to see the whales and all the birds that congregate there to eat those wonderful things. And it's because they spawn in those rivers up there. We're not as likely to see such a huge event of 10,000 or more birds in one spot. But so we can't do that this year. That's too many people in a small place. And generally, we start our bird walks every spring in April for spring migration. Our first one would have been last Saturday, and they go through the first couple weekends of June. We really don't know yet whether or not we're going to be able to do some in May, but we'll keep you posted.
Sounds good. And well, I'm sorry to hear about your cruise, but as I said already, birding is a pretty acceptable activity, and it's in these times, and it's an exciting time of year to get out and do it. So would you please tell us what is happening with birds right now in Southeast?
You know, this is the time of year where a lot of our birds that have overwintered with us are settling into their territories, and so that means they're singing really quite loudly. And a few of them that have overwintered with us that are our year-round residents, they get the first jump because they already live here, so they can kick everybody out of the best territory. And they do that by singing. So is it okay if I introduce the pine siskin first?
Yeah. I was just going to tell everybody, we're going to give our listeners some birding homework for the week, the upcoming weekend, if they are going to get out in this weather, get out on the trails. It's sort of like a scavenger hunt. So we've got the bird calls that we can play now over the air. We have the names of the birds, and we even are making it super easy by putting pictures of the birds up on our website, ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. And the listener is tasked with going out to find them. So pine siskin is what you said, right?
Yes. And so what we're trying to do with this is do the ones that are being really loud right now because they're coming back really quickly. So there'll be a different five birds next time we're on air. And then another time it'll be more birds.
All right.
So the fun thing about this is that these are very common. So if with any luck at all, you might get to see them quite easily or just have to look at a couple spots by taking a nice walk.
All right, let's play the call. Okay, that was the pine siskin. They sound really little. Are they small birds?
Oh, they're very tiny. They're only about 5 inches long and quite slender. And the reason that we can hear them at all is because a pine siskin isn't happy unless it's with its best friends, anywhere from 20 to 200 of them.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So if you see a huge ball of birds fly up from the top of an alder or another tree and then settle right back down, it's the siskins, because that's what they do. They fly, flit, hover, and eat.
I do believe I have seen those around. I didn't know what they were called, though, so thank you. And again, photos up on the website. Which one's next?
The Pacific Wren.
There we go. Some other birds mixed in there.
Yes, I was hoping that everybody could hear it over the goal. But that's a natural background for us here.
Yep, I can definitely pick out the call, although I don't know for sure if I'd be able to differentiate it from the last one that we played.
Mm-hmm.
The siskin, they sound similar. It also sounds like a little bird.
Yes. So the best thing to do for the Pacific Wren is that they, when they sing, they can be quite bold. They're very tiny, only about 4 inches, and they're brown. But when they're being bold and wanting to have their new territory, they jump way high on a something between 6 and 8 feet tall and just tell you their song.
They belt it out, huh?
And they really love little driblets of water, teeny tiny springs or something, because they really love water and insects.
And some other notes from you about this bird is it's the longest song in North America?
Yes. If you get a chance to hear the entire thing, it's the longest continuous song that doesn't imitate another bird. You know, like a mockingbird can go on for an hour, but the Pacific Wren has its own song and sings it. It's almost a whole minute long.
It's original song.
It's original song.
And it's a year-round resident of Juneau.
It is. It's the tiniest insect-eating bird that stays all winter with us.
All right. Which one's next?
The dark-eyed junco.
Okay. Let me get that one up. Oh, you know, that one almost sounds like a little squirrel. It's kind of chattery.
Yes, it does. You know, sometimes I have to go, what was that for sure? But it's this one's a... It's not much bigger than the wren or the pine siskin, but it's very round-headed and round-bodied, so it looks larger. But it is also a year-round resident. It's got a very dark head and a light belly, but the best thing, the easiest thing for us to help clue into it is it's got 2 white outer tail feathers. So as it flips away from us to hide, you're going to see those bright white flashes.
I have definitely spotted a couple of these around, and we'll talk more about where are some good trails to go and find these birds if you're going to take us up on the scavenger hunt this week. But I've definitely spotted the dark-eyed junco around in the last week, so I'm going to check that one off my list. I've got a head start already.
All right.
Okay, which one's next?
Song sparrow.
Here we go. Those first 3 really high-pitched notes seem like they're pretty distinctive there.
Yes, yes, that's very helpful to me. It's like, it's almost like the Hey You bird. So the song sparrow is a little bit bigger than the others, and it likes to give a little call note when it moves around. So if you hear that noise, you can look around to see if you see something scrounging around on the grass or the high bushes, because it loves seeds. And the best way to tell it from some other streaked birds is got a dark spot right over its heart.
So like right in the middle of its chest?
Right in the middle of its chest.
Okay. And last but not least, I think most folks know this one. Let's save the name. We can save the
buried,
name.
Buried thrush.
It's going to make people guess.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I hear them more than I see them this time of year.
Yes. They're pretty bold sometimes, but they're just the kind of bird that likes to crouch down and sing real loud, but not let you look at them. But they are lovely. You know, a long time ago, we used to call them the phone bird because they only had, that was the dial tone or the phone ring that you got. But now there's millions of different kinds of phone rings, so it doesn't make any sense to call them that anymore.
So the varied thrush was one of the original ringtones?
Yes, one of the original ringtones.
I did not know that. That's a fun fact. Can you describe what these birds look like if we do spot them?
You bet. They're a first cousin to the robin, so same size, but they have a lovely orange breast and orange and black on their head, darker gray back. But the very nicest thing about the varied thrush is right in the middle of their chest, they have a V, a black V that separates the orange above it from the orange below it. And V stands for varied.
Varied thrush. That's great. Excellent.
Nice?
Yeah.
It's like Superman.
Well, Brenda, thanks so much for sharing these calls. Did you record them yourself?
No, we had a couple volunteers that are really, really into doing these spring birds for us at Juneau Audubon. Cody Millsap does the recordings, and Jessica volunteered the photos for us.
That's right. The photos are at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. And when the show's over, we'll post the audio up there, too, so folks can go back and listen if they didn't catch it the first time, and they can look at the pictures as well. And then they can start their scavenger hunt. So what trails are good places for finding these birds?
You know, one of the very best ones is from Evergreen up past the Governor's Mansion, the Evergreen Cemetery.
Oh, I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah, they like to live. They don't mind living around people. I hear the Pacific Wren singing right there along the walkway between the Capitol and the Governor's Mansion every time I walk by there. And most of the rest will be between Evergreen and the Capitol. But the Ock Rec or the River Trail, the Mendenhall River Trail, or even the Treadwell Ditch Trail. They're all excellent for these birds right now.
So we want places where there's trees, wooded
yeah.
places.
Okay. Yeah, wooded places, yep. They do, I mean, they will be around places where there's little streamlets, like I said. So Lemon Creek is a good, in most places you can go outside your door and hear one of them right now.
I hear the birds singing outside my door every single day, and I live downtown, so I know just what you mean.
Yeah.
I also had some sightings that I was pretty excited about out on the airport trail. I'm pretty sure I spotted a waxwing. I'm no expert, but
oh, nice.
It was very yeah. bright pink, and part of it was pink, and it caught my eye.
Uh-huh. Yep, and another place you might get to see them is actually at Evergreen Cemetery again. Isn't that okay. interesting? But yeah, the airport dike trail is just excellent for all of these birds also.
Yeah.
And soon, it'll be Warbler City.
Well, I look forward to hearing more about warblers when we talk again. But until then, I was wondering if you might share with our listeners, do you like any bird identification apps or bird call apps? Is there anything like that?
Oh, you know. Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up. There's one that's out that's easy. It's free, and it's so easy to use. It's called Merlin Bird ID, Merlin. It's free from, it's from Cornell, and it's so easy because all you do is you download the birds of North America or just Alaska, and then you tell it your zip code, how big the bird was, a couple colors, if you saw it on the grass or in the ground or in the water, and it'll pop up with all the suggestions for your zip code.
Wow, that's great. Well, I wrote that down. Hopefully our listeners did too. I've been using good old Google, but I think I might be ready for something a little bit more advanced now. So
yeah, and this one's really fun because it'll give you several pictures and a map and a song.
Well, Brenda, from the Juneau Audubon Society, Brenda Wright, thank you so much for speaking with me today. That was really, really fun. Thank you for sharing those recordings and the photos on our website and for just putting together this list of five spring songbirds that we can go and keep our eyes peeled for. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
No, but this is the season to greet the birds, so there's lots out there to enjoy.
Well, thanks so much. Have fun
Thank
out
you,
there.
Shelley.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye.